Now, on this programme this morning, the Chief Constable, Simon Byrne, has indeed told Boris Johnson that the PSNI will not police any customs checkpoints on the border after Brexit. Will he be able to follow through on that or not? Let me speak to Alison Morris from the Irish News, security correspondent. Alison, good morning.
Good morning.
I presume the demands on the police are quite great as we go towards this momentous date whenever it actually happens. And one of the things we have to keep in mind is that the police must police the country, but must they patrol the border, or do they only have to investigate after an incident happens, if it does happen, on the border?
So technically, the duty of care for the border would be border force, and border force would be the people who police borders, regardless of whether they're sea borders or whether you're entering into the UK or entering into Northern Ireland. So that would have been traditionally done by border force, and obviously because we have an invisible border at the moment, there would be very few border force employees even employed in Northern Ireland. Then what you have to look at is what will happen after Brexit. So if we were to take the plan that Boris Johnson put forward this week, although, you know, we're pretty sure that's not going to be what happened, but let's assume that was, he was talking about checks that would be taking place in random places away from the border, so maybe 5 or 10 miles away, maybe mobile customs checks that would be set up and just like satellites, customs checks, and then move on. All of those things, whether it's a building or a structure, or whether it's a mobile customs checkpoint, those things would become targets. And while it's not the police's job to collect tariffs or to check the, or as I've said, to police the border, as that's border force, what they do have a duty of care is to protect the lives of people who are working in those positions. So I have had this conversation with numerous senior police officers I've interviewed in the years since we've had the referendum, and they've all said the same thing. While they're reluctant to do it, they know that should there be borders placed anywhere, regardless of where they're placed after Brexit, they would end up getting drawn into a situation where they were having to provide protection for the people who are doing those jobs. So while the Chief Constable said he won't be policing the border, he won't. It's not the PSNI's job to police the border. But if you had civilian workers working in a customs, say collecting tariffs or checking lorries, and those people were at risk, then it would become the PSNI's job to protect the lives of those staff.
So it's almost a guarantee that if those checks are put in place, whether the threats are carried out or not, the threats will be put in place against those workers. The police are either going to have to go and protect them, or the police are going to have to react to them being attacked. And at some point, the police could be permanently in the vicinity of the border. Is that not a scaremongering tactic that we're bringing to the air at the moment?
As we don't actually know. So we don't know what the border's going to look like, or we don't know where these checks are going to take place. So the plan as it stands at the minute is that Northern Ireland will leave customs union, but will stay in the single market in terms of goods such as agri-foods and livestock and those sort of things. So there would still need to be limited checks, and there would still need to be customs checks, and they have to take place somewhere. So some of those checks, as we've been told, are going to take place in the sea, if you like, at ports. But then other checks will have to take place between the border and each side of Ireland. It just doesn't say where those checks would have to take place. So we know, and I think we spoke about this before, that right after Brexit, there was three police stations that were quite close to the border, which were for sale. And one of the sales had already was an advanced stage, and they were withdrawn from the market. And the plan, the thought always was that that was a contingency plan, that if they needed to, they could set up customs checks there, which in buildings which have already been fortified because their previous use was the PSNI stations during the Troubles. But those buildings would immediately become a target as well. And is that like not fit? It's just not fit for purpose to have a place where something as benign as a customs check becomes has to be take place in a heavily fortified structure surrounded, you know, an armed police. And none of this is ideal. None of this is what any of us wanted. But as time goes on, we can see that the options are very limited. So while people have told us that there are technological solutions to the border and these things can't take place without any actual person having to do it, we now know when we get down to the nitty-gritty of these negotiations, that's just simply not true, that there will have to be some customs checks. We just don't know where they're going to be. The problem for the police is that none of this is a policing matter. This is all to do with, you know, if we're talking about agri-food, roads or even sanitation projects. That's all to do with environment agencies, checking, collecting tariffs is to do with revenue and customs. Police and the borders to do with border force. They're the people who check whether people are illegally crossing borders or whether goods are illegally crossing borders. But all of those people become, after Brexit, they are not armed forces, and all of those people become after Brexit targets, and we know that, and it's just a fact of life. If you live here in Northern Ireland, then we know that the Distance have been actively recruiting. They've been using Brexit as some sort of recruiting sergeant to draw young people into the ranks. The fact that you're going to have something that's an actual visible, a visual target for them, something that is static and something that is there and something that they will use to say this is a manifestation of British rule, this is occupation, our land, there it is, and that's a target. And the people who work there, the people who are doing their job, collecting those tariffs or checking goods for safety, those people become a target, and the PSNI are duty-bound to protect the lives of any citizen who lives here. So while the Chief Constable has said he won't police the border, there is a chance, and I know that there is a contingency plan for this, and I know police have planned for it because they've had to plan for all eventualities, where they will have to protect the people whose job it is to look after the border. And that's the situation that we're going to be in, and that's unavoidable in terms of Brexit, because it just is, because we have a land border and we're going to have the only land border with the EU after Brexit, and somebody is going to have to police it. In terms of smuggling, once you start talking about crimes being committed, well, then that is a PSNI matter, and the PSNI will have to deal with that as well. So while he's saying on one hand he won't police it, there is policing duties and activities which will have to take place along it.
Does that include bringing in police from overseas? Does that include considering the deployment of the Scottish police or English police forces on the Northern Ireland, Republic of Ireland border?
We've always had mutual assistance officers who have been there as a plan the PSNI can call on, and we know that because we've had that in Woodvale 1 year during parade disputes up there. I remember standing talking to the officers who were policing up there for mutual assistance officers, and then we had it during the G8 as well, where officers were brought in and weren't needed, basically sat around for a few days. So there is always that option to bring them in, but that would be a last case scenario. That would be, almost a state of emergency type situation where there had been major conflict and the PSNI just didn't have the numbers to police it. At this point in time, we know the Chief Constable's asking for, it's 400 extra officers to help with the situation after Brexit. So on one hand, while we've been told that none of this will matter, it will not cause any difference to all our lives, it's all just project fear and scaremongering, in the background there have been plans being made for what the situation will be after Brexit, and none of them are very pleasant when you listen to the nitty-gritty of them, because what they will do is they'll just disrupt this place in a way that it hasn't been in almost 20 years.
One final point, Alison. Would border posts or a border presence in the Republic of Ireland be a target of any sort?
See, the situation is, and I've heard this before, but why would it be in the Republic? It's just, I know that Leif Ragdor said this, and it is worth noting, because I know from Arlene Foster's comments today, she's saying that the Dublin government are stopping any deal. Ireland didn't vote for Brexit, and Ireland don't want Brexit, and Ireland have said they will uphold their part of the Good Friday Agreement as joint signatories of it, and therefore I can't see why they would. Now, the EU could demand, if the British government just say, well, we're just not going to police Northern Ireland, we're not going to collect tariffs, we're not going to do any of those things placed upon us, there you go, it's your job to do it. Well, then I'm not sure how the Southern government would react, because the EU would have to dictate to make sure that unsafe goods weren't coming into the EU market. There hasn't been a history of late of attacks in the south. I think it would be a move away from what the dissidents are currently doing for them to start. But there is, can I just say, if you look at what happened in Fermanagh with a bomb at a Wattle Bridge not long ago, and even if you talk about the kidnapping with the Kevin Lunny, there are dissidents who are active on both sides of that border and always have been. Some of them are of an age. They're of a vintage. They're people who may have been involved in the Provisional IRA at that time, or they're people who have more recently become involved in dissident activity, mainly because it's a revenue source in terms of smuggling and all of those sort of things. But those people do exist, albeit in very small numbers along there. So I wouldn't want to predict what would happen, but there is a capability that people who were carrying any sort of border checks in the south could also find themselves becoming targets.
Okay, Alison, thank you very much indeed. Alison Morris is the security correspondent with the Irish News. Listening to all of that, Eamon Malley. Eamon, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Eamon, what do you make of this latest announcement that the Chief Constable seems to be in a very difficult position with regards to policing the border?
Well, I listened very, very carefully to everything that he said. He said the following. He said that he will not have his officers side by side with customs officers or anybody involved in checking products or the movement of products. They will not, he said. If you go back maybe 15, 20 years, you will recall that the UDR were always accompanied after the Anglo-Irish Agreement, or at least they were supposed to be accompanied by police officers. But what he is very specifically saying is his officers will not be side by side with anybody engaging in the business of checking movement of products. He will, however, be obliged in the eventuality of any incident, any attack on any worker involved in customs. He will be involved in investigation, or investigating that incident, or if they had intelligence in advance of something that was going to happen, yes, I think he would be duty-bound, he's a duty of care, to work to interrupt and intercept such a potential attack. But that's where it starts and that's where it finishes. And that's what he has made very, very clear. He sought legal advice, and it is not in the ambit or the remit of the police to accompany customs officers in the new situation. That's what he has said.
And what happens if a customs officer is attacked, or Lord forbid, worse than that, and a customs officer or officers are the headline story in the news because of an attack from dissident Republicans? At what point do the police then intervene to ensure that there are armed guards for those customs officers?
Well, effectively, once that happens, Frank, the PSNI is going to be in the firing line, because the allegation, the charge will be from unionist politicians that the PSNI advocated that they hadn't sufficient intelligence, they hadn't sufficient presence to interrupt such an attack. That's the way it's going to go. So it's going to unravel so quickly. But in terms of this customs business, I've been trying to dig a little more deeply, Frank, into what is going on. Now, in that correspondence to Europe, Boris Johnson references designated locations. Nobody really knows what that means. But there is an implication there that there will be some locale, some locus, some place where this action of customs checking might take place. Now, that is what will be deemed very provocative and potentially dangerous. Now, let me draw attention to something else that Alison was discussing with you. The Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, is very specific and has been very specific. When Boris Johnson was saying the British will not be party to any infrastructure along the border or near the border in terms of customs, there will be no customs checking, he was saying at one stage, in Northern Ireland, at the hands of the British government. But at that stage, Leo Varadkar was saying, as a member of the European Union, he was obliged to protect the integrity of the territory of the European Union, and his border was the single land border in this area, and therefore he would be obliged to have some checks in terms of whatever movement of product was taking place in the Republic of Ireland. And I've been asking myself this question repeatedly. Would anybody on the southern side involved in the work as outlined by the Taoiseach, monitoring material crossing the border into the Republic of Ireland, would those people be vulnerable? Would anybody consider attacking those people should that eventuality arise? It's an imponderable, I don't know.
There are so many questions that are hanging in the air, and we heard a few times over the last 24 hours a variety of politicians and contributors saying that Boris Johnson doesn't really understand the border in Ireland. He doesn't understand the geography, the social climate, the atmosphere, the general opinion on the turf, so to speak. Is that fair commentary?
Yes, I would say that's quite valid. But historically, Frank, I've read the biographies and the autobiographies of Margaret Thatcher and all these people, Tony Blair and everything. At one stage, Margaret Thatcher wanted to draw a straight line from Fermanagh to South Down and literally seal the border. Just put a straight line, a wall, build a wall. Like, that's how naive she was. That's what she was suggesting at one stage. Now, she was probably the real quintessence of absolute ignorance about Northern Ireland at that time. But despite that, she did some extraordinary things. She signed the Anglo-Irish Agreement. She liaised directly with the hunger strikers. You know, so out of her ignorance, she did some extraordinary things. But the point is, if there's a designated location for this checking of products, etc., customs checking, that will be problematical. Now, I wouldn't necessarily say much more about that, because I wouldn't want to say anything that might encourage people or give people ideas. Look, there's no doubt about it, Frank. I'm a border man. It was right within 2 miles of the border on the northern side. You can take it from me. The border economists, that's a euphemism I use, the border economists are working day and night to examine how they can best exploit the changing circumstances in the aftermath of the Brexit. They'll be working day and night to see, is there any monetary, economic advantage, and which way will we move the product to get a turnaround? That's instinctive, it's intuitive, it's in the genes, it's been going on ever since the state was established, the two states were established.
Finally, Eamon, considering everything we've heard from you and from Alison Morris on this programme in the last 23 minutes, why are the DUP so in favour of this?
Well, I listened very, very, very carefully to what Geoffrey Donaldson is saying. And you can take it from me, it's a continuum of DUP policy. Their big thing is hollowing out all cross-border bodies. He is literally diminishing the relevance of the Republic of Ireland numerically in terms of its importance to the Northern Ireland economy. His argument is, we in Northern Ireland ship and export more into Great Britain than to any other place in the world. So the big responsibility and the big, big liability they feel they have is to make sure that the customs union, the same customs system, obtains between Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK, so that nothing militates against the union in terms of how they see the world. Their lean on Boris Johnson has been the concept of consent in Parliament buildings. Now, Boris Johnson used the term parallel consent. Now, whether you understand it, that would suggest that both sides of the community would have a veto on any change of that being in the single market, as all products in Northern Ireland crossing the border would be with Northern Ireland is being treated as if it were in the single market. Our products here would have European standards, etc. But essentially, as long as either party or of the big parties would have a veto, that means the DUP essentially could, within 4 years, if we had an assembly, and I doubt, Frank, given what's going on and given the implications of this Brexit and given this what would be deemed as a DUP veto, I doubt if any nationalist party is going to rush back to Stormont to facilitate ongoing uncertainty down the line. But the Democratic Unionist Party see Britain as a big friend, as a big export market, and as far as I can see, they're in the business of peripheralising and marginalising the Republic of Ireland. And Nigel Dodds' comment was quite interesting. He said to Leo Varadkar yesterday, stop and think. He didn't say young man, but he was close to saying it. You are going to go down in history as the man who put a hard border on the island of Ireland. So it's getting very tricky. It's getting very difficult. And the tone of the language is not improving as the days pass by.
Eamon, thank you very, very much indeed. Thanks to Alison Morris as well from the Irish News. The morning's flying by. Friday morning, good morning. What are you up to this weekend? Let us know what's on your mind today. Feel free to share your thoughts with us. 028 90 333 105.